God's word tonight to the book of Ruth and chapter number 2, the book of Ruth and chapter number 2 this evening. We've been continuing our little series on Sunday night called The Romance of Redemption, and we've been looking together at various things concerning the book of Ruth and the great book that it is that teaches us about the gospel, the types and pictures concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But tonight we're coming on in Ruth chapter 2, and we're really bringing the chapter to a close, and we're looking tonight at the fruits of real faith. We're looking at the fruits of real faith. You see, Ruth has been gleaning now in the field of Boaz, and she has been found by him, and she's been favoured by him, and she's been fed by him. And now she comes to this place where she continues to glean in this field. She continues to glean all day, and then she takes the what she has gleaned home to her mother-in-law. And we see in all of this the fruits of real faith. You see, faith on its own will have fruit attached to it. You see, if you are truly saved, our faith cannot be hidden. Our faith will have fruits, as Brian actually said in the announcements this morning. Faith without works is dead. And of course, we're not saved by our works, but we're known by our works. And certainly in Ruth, we see evidence that her life had been changed by meeting Boaz. Having experienced grace, we see the fruits of real faith. You see, Boaz was more than just a man to Ruth. Let's read from verse number 17, where we left off last week, down to the end of the chapter, and it says, So Ruth gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley, and she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabite said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, If it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. The fruits of real faith, as Ruth, having met Boaz, her whole life and her whole demeanor changes as she seeks to serve this man in the field of his barley. I want us to think about three things this evening concerning what we find here as we bring chapter number 2 to a close. The first thing, or the first fruit of real faith, was Ruth's abundance. You see, as Ruth has gone to glean in Boaz's field, look at what it says in verse number 17. It says, So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Landing into Boaz's field and having gleaned there, Ruth discovered an abundance within that field. Having taken Boaz at his word and committing to gleaning only there, she found there was more than enough that she needed for her life. In fact, in one day, at the end of verse number 17, we read that she gleaned an ephah of barley. Now, an ephah is just simply a specific measure for grain. Now, it's maybe not something that we're familiar with, but one ephah was the equivalent of 5 gallons or 23 liters. Now, we've all seen a 5 gallon drum, and that's really how much would have been gleaned in one ephah. Now, I don't want to get too technical about this tonight, but one ephah was quite a lot. How do we measure that, or how do we make it relevant to us today? Well, one ephah was the equivalent of 10 omers, and you say, now you really are losing. I mean, what's 10 omers? Well, it's significant of that. Don't worry so much about the numbers. But if you were to go back to Exodus chapter 16, And if you were to go back and you were to read in verse 16 of the wilderness wanderings when the Lord had brought the Israelites out of Egypt and he had taken them into the wilderness. And remember, the Lord said he would provide manna from heaven, bread from heaven, morning and evening. Well, in verse 16 of Exodus chapter 16, each person was to go out and was to gather one omer of bread for a day. In other words, each person was instructed to gather enough for the day. One omer. One omer was enough to sustain one person for one day. And yet Ruth had gathered enough in one day to sustain her and Naomi for 5 days. In other words, in one day, Ruth had gathered a week's supply of food. Such was the abundance of provision found in Boaz's field. A person only needed one omer to live for a day. And yet in one day, Ruth had gleaned 10 omers, had gleaned all of this barley. Looking at it another way, Boaz had provided far more than Ruth's daily need. She went to this field, she gleaned for a day, and she came home with enough that would feed her and her mother-in-law for 5 days. He provided more than her daily need. You know, there's a lovely link to the Lord Jesus here. As we think about the great antitype in Boaz, and as we think about redemption, you know, God didn't give rations in redemption. God didn't limit his redemption. Rather, in Romans, we read that he spared not his only son. God did not hold back. God, and I say this very reverently, God was not miserable with his mercy. God provided abundantly for all of our sin. And we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all of our sin, he gave the all of his son. And in turn, his son gave all in his sacrifice. The Lord Jesus didn't just come to live. He didn't just come to set an example. He didn't just come to suffer. But he came to go all the way to Calvary and give all of his life upon that cruel cross. And that's why in Hebrews 7 and 25, we can be sure that he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is able to save to the uttermost. That means no matter how deeply dyed or how dreadfully depraved we are, we can say tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is able to cleanse us from all sin. The Lord's blood does not just cleanse from some sin or most sins. There's no conditions on how much sin the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse from. It says in 1 John 1 and 7 that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is able to cleanse us from all sin. Such is the abundance of God's salvation. Here in Ruth chapter number 2, as she goes to Boaz's field, she gleans more than she could imagine. And tonight, the gospel of God is more than you can imagine. But you know, the Lord in his grace doesn't just save us, bring us into the field as it were. But the Lord in his grace also sustains us within that field. In other words, he gives us more than we could ever avail of. He gives exceedingly sufficient strength to face each day. Do you know something that stops so many getting saved? People say, you'll never keep it. Or you'll not be able to keep it. Or what happens when hard times come? You'll renounce your faith and you'll turn back to where you come from. You see, here's the reality of God's salvation. He doesn't just save us, but he sustains us. Child of God, we're sustained by the same grace by which we've been saved. James chapter 4 and verse number 6, we read these lovely words, but he giveth more grace. Can I say to the child of God tonight, no matter how high the mountain, no matter how low the valley, no matter how hard the wall, no matter how deep the darkness,
You can take Paul's words of Ephesians 3 and 20 and claim them and say he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We are dealing with a God of great abundance. No matter how empty the shelves, no matter how bare the cupboards, no matter how barren the soul, again we can take Paul's words, this time from Philippians 4 and 19, and say, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There's more than we could ever glean. No matter how great our need is, the Lord is even greater. But you know, there's more here, because in verse number 17, Ruth gleaned barley. Now, what was barley? That was Ruth's physical food. That was what she needed to sustain her that day and in the days that lay ahead. And here we have another lovely picture. If the barley was Ruth's physical food, it's a type of the Bible that is our spiritual food. The spiritual food of the believer is found within the Word of God. All that Ruth needed to sustain her was found within that field. Folks, tonight, it's basic preaching, it's basic principles. But all we need to sustain us in life is found in this book. Again, writing this time to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3, listen to what Paul describes the Word of God as in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in verse number 16, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly, truly furnished unto all good works. Peter speaks about God giving us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God has given us an abundance of everything that we need for life. And you're saying, where do I get guidance? Where do I get comfort? Where do I get help? Where do I get direction? In the Word of God. It's our spiritual food. But here's what we learn from Ruth. For Ruth ever to enjoy the barley, it took both endurance and effort. It took both endurance and effort. It took endurance. Look at what it says in verse 17. It says, she gleaned in the field until even. To get the barley, to get the good of it, it took endurance. You see, to get an abundance of barley, Ruth had to invest the time in gleaning. Ruth had to put the time in. Ruth had to spend the entire day gleaning in the field. She devoted herself to gleaning all day. What's the principle that applies to you and I who are believers tonight? We will never get much out of God's Word if we don't spend much time in God's Word. You say to me, but I, that's dead easy for you. You're a pastor. You don't have a job to go to. Well, like I do, and I have a family. I understand that. But we've got to make time for the Word of God. We'll never get much out of God's Word if we don't spend much time in God's Word. And that principle applies not just to the Word of God, but applies to the work of God and our witness for God. Both require endurance. Both require sticking it out to see fruit in the end. So many give up in the work of God. So many give up witnessing for God because they don't see fruit. And yet, what does Paul write in Galatians 6 and 9? Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. Endurance is required when it comes to the Word of God. It's required in the work of God. It's required in the witness of God. And God is not unmindful of our labors. But not only did it take endurance, but gleaning this barley took effort. You see, it says that when it goes on to say, and she beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. You see, it also took effort. The context here, or sort of to give you a little bit of historic, what would have happened? A rock or a stick would have been used to beat the stalks. When you would have gleaned in the stalks, you then would have beat them, and that was to separate the grain from the chaff, or to get the kernel out of the stalk. Gleaning wasn't just about gathering. Linking it again to the Word of God, we must beat out the truth from what we glean. we must feast on what we find so many, and we can all do it, it's dead easy. We can glean. We can digest commentaries. We can glean and gather and get as much information into our minds. But unless it goes into our hearts, it's useless. It's worthless. We can have heads full of knowledge and hearts that are cold and barren. The Word of God being of little effect to our lives, to get it deep down in, we must glean it and then we must beat out the truth, as it were. The psalmist writes of the godly man in Psalm 1, he says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And that means to chew it over, that means to think it over, that means to mull it over. It's so very easy to glean, to casually gather, but not put the effort into beating out the nutritious, beneficial truths, getting them deep into our souls. Well, we see Ruth's abundance. She gleaned from morning till evening, and she gleaned more than she was capable of taking. But it took effort and it took endurance. The second thing we see, not only Ruth's abundance, but secondly, I want you to see Ruth's benevolence. This is the second fruit of her faith, as it were, or the second fruit of being found in Boaz's field. Because in 18 to 20, we see Ruth gathering what she had and immediately wanting to share it. She wanted to take it home. She wanted not just to hoard it for herself. She didn't hoard her abundance, but she desired to share what she had gleaned. She wanted her mother-in-law to share in her bounty and in her blessing. She wanted her to share in the bounty of Boaz's field, as we have read in verse 18, that she took it up and went into the city. But she also wanted her to enjoy the blessing of Boaz's food, because it says that she gave unto her that which she had reserved after she was sufficed. Now, notice that little phrase. That's not referring to the barley. Rather, if you glance back up into verse 14, remember how she had sat at the table with Boaz's gleaners and there was food left over. It would be suggested that this comment is referring back that Ruth had saved some food from Boaz's table and she was so full up and she had reserved it for her mother-in-law. She wanted her to enjoy the bounty of Boaz's field and the blessing of Boaz's food. Ruth wanted Naomi to taste and see that this man was good. She had a heart of benevolence. Likewise, when you and I, who are believers, experience God's grace, it's important we both show and share it. Infilling leads to outreaching. How can we hide such a treasure? Matthew 5 and 15, Jesus said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When we have tasted the bread of heaven, when we have ate of the bread of life, surely we want to share it. How did Ruth show her benevolence? Well, she done so by sharing practically and by speaking plainly. She shared practically in verse number 18. She took care of her mother-in-law, who was also a poor widow. She took this, all that she had gleaned. Now, it's important we see when she arrived home, she wasn't hard on her. She didn't say, well, you should have been out there. It was me that put the hard work in. She wasn't hard. She was soft and sympathetic, and she ministered to her mother-in-law practically. You know, there's a word for you and I tonight, who are believers, that there's a great work for God that can be done through practical benevolence. We read about that in James 2. Verses 14 to 17, where James talks about the man that has no food to eat and say, well, go, your faith will make you well. And James says, no, that's a nonsense. That's not how it works. Of course, the Lord Jesus balanced this beautifully in his own earthly ministry, how his spiritual was combined with the physical or the practical. He ministered to so many. He healed their needs. He fed their stomachs. He invested in people. He was filled with compassion. He looked at them as people who were in need. F.B. Meyer says, man's kindness will sometimes soften a hard and weary heart and enable it again to believe in the love of God. Listen tonight, never underestimate the kindness of God shown in practical means. Never underestimate the impact of a faithful, kind-hearted witness as we show the gospel practically. But here's the thing. We also have, as Ruth showed her benevolence, she shared practically, but secondly, she spoke plainly. Because in verses 19 to verse number 20 or 21, I don't want you to miss this tonight. Don't miss the balance. A meal without a message is meaningless. Very easy to have a social gospel. We'll just cut gardens and do all of these things and never mention the gospel. But notice what happened. Ruth's actions led to Naomi's asking. Notice the opening words of verse 19. And her mother-in-law said unto her, her practical bringing of the barley led to a conversation. Her practical sharing give her an opportunity to speak plainly. And she begins to ask about all that Ruth had done. And this is often how divine appointments work. Naomi knew that Ruth hadn't gleaned in just an ordinary field. There was something different. No widow goes into a field and gleans this much in a day. No widow comes back so well furnished. There's something different. This girl, this daughter-in-law of mine, she hasn't been gleaning in just any field. There's something different. I've got to ask her where she was. I've got to ask her what she was doing. Notice in verse 19, Naomi first of all asks about a place. Her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? There's a challenge to every one of us who are believers at the end of the day. Where have you gleaned today? Where have we gleaned in our work days? But this question provided a platform to speak about the field of Boaz. An opportunity opened, and she could tell her about a place. We do the same. We speak about a place. The gospel is centered around two things, a place and a person. The place is found in Luke 23 and 33, and it says, and when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Oh, the hymn writer pens it so well. I know a fount where sins are washed away. I know a place where night is turned to day. Burdens are lifted, blind eyes made to see. There's wonder-working power in the blood of Calvary. Oh, tonight we don't want to point you to a church, to Sinfield Baptist Church. Don't want to point you to a chapel. Don't want to point you to some other center. We point you to the place called Calvary, where three crosses were set, with one in the middle was prepared for a criminal, a man by the name of Barabbas. That was his cross. But the crowd wanted Barabbas, and so upon that cross was nailed a man called the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the sinless, spotless one. And at the place called Calvary, the just died for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Oh, if you're struggling for something to speak about, how do I witness? Take people to a place called Calvary. But not only does Naomi ask about a place, but she also asks about a person. Because she goes on and she says, and her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. I love that lovely little sentence that speaks about Ruth. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought. She simply began to speak about Boaz. Ruth explained about a place, the field. But she explained about the person, Boaz. Ruth 2 and 19, blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. Oh, Naomi understands that Ruth has had an encounter with a man. Ruth now had her opening to speak plainly about this man, Boaz, an opening to explain his provision and his protection, his grace and his goodness, his work and his workers. And likewise, in our witness for Christ and in our preaching of the gospel, we don't only speak about a place, but we speak of a person, the man, Christ Jesus. We speak of his wondrous love to me. We speak of the abundance of his provision and the all of Calvary. We speak about the blood that He shed to cleanse us from all of our sin. You say, I really wish I could speak better for the Lord, but I don't know what to say. God has preachers, but by and large, He has people on the ground, and the best gospel that you can tell is just tell what the Lord has done for you. That's what Naomi done. Or that's what Ruth done, sorry. Speaking to Naomi, she didn't get into all the great depths and details. She simply spoke of what Boaz had done for her. And the greatest gospel we can tell is what Jesus has done for you. Not a great religious sales pitch, but a humble personal testimony like the one we find in John 9 and 25. The blind man had been healed. His whole world had just changed and he was being scrutinized by the Pharisees. So sad whenever people just jump on people and want to criticize them and change them. Here was a man he didn't know very much. He was only just born again, as it were, and they were on him and they were questioning him and they were scrutinizing him. And I love his answer. He just says, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He just simply spoke of what Jesus had done for him. What Jesus done for him, He can do for you. He can open blinded eyes, He can open a blinded heart, and He can give you everlasting life. Oh, we see Ruth's abundance. We see Ruth's benevolence, but thirdly and finally, in the fruit of faith, if you want to call it, we see Ruth's obedience. Because in verses 21 to 23, we have Ruth the Moabite as saying, He said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with this, with his maidens, that they meet thee not in another field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. The final fruit that we see in the life of this lady was her obedience. Boaz gave Ruth a command in verse 21, and Ruth simply obeyed it in verse 23. Thou shalt keep fast. Literally means you shall stay close, you shall stick like glue. Boaz had a concern for Ruth's welfare as a woman in such an environment. These fields were often dangerous for women. Now even Naomi recognized the blessing of this. She wouldn't get it in other fields, as she says in verse number 22. And you know, here it emphasizes the importance of Christian fellowship. Not isolating ourselves. We need to stick close to the Lord's people. The early church continued steadfastly in fellowship. It's needed for protection. It's needed for edification. We can't cut ourselves off from the people of God. As the proverb says, as iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And Boaz's concern for Ruth, now that she was in the field, was stick close. Get close to my gleaners. And so it is for us who are saved. It's important we get close to the people of God. But the central point in these verses is Ruth diligently and dutifully obeying Boaz's instructions. He had given her provision for her good, and now he had given her this instruction for her good. And she done what he said. She showed a submissive and obedient heart to this man of grace. She didn't wander away into another field or remain isolated in some corner of Boaz's field. Experiencing grace, it ought to lead us to exemplary obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You'll never find a perfect Christian. Every Christian fails, every Christian falls. But every true Christian ought to at least show a heart of desired obedience. If we have any love for the Lord, we'll want to obey His word. You see, when we get saved, we don't simply take a ticket to heaven, meaning we can live whatever way we want. Paul wrote in Romans 6 of this very thing in verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? getting saved, we surrender to the lordship and leading of Christ. Mary, the Lord's mother, recommended this very thing at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. John 2 and verse 5, as she spoke to the wedding guests, having run out of wine, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Why? Because he knows so much better than us. He's so much wiser than us. He's so much greater than us. Boaz gave Ruth instruction as the owner of the field, as a man that had been in the business a long time. He knew what was right for her. And when the Lord sets out his instructions for our life, may we take the instruction of Mary, whatsoever he saith unto you, just do it. So easy to say, isn't it? So hard to do, because we wrestle. But Ruth had such an attitude towards Boaz. May we too have such an attitude towards the Lord Jesus Christ, endeavoring not just to be hearers of his word, but doers of it also. Oh, there's much for the believer in this tonight. If you're not saved, maybe you call yourself a Christian. I'm a Christian. Is there the fruit in your life? Do you get out of the Word of God? Do you have that benevolence? Have you been to the place called Calvary? Do you know the person of Calvary? Has there been a point in your life where you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? But the big one, has there been an obedience? Have you obeyed? It's so easy to say, well, I'm going to love my neighbor and I'm going to do this, that and the other. Have you obeyed the first command that the Lord gave concerning salvation? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you obeyed that one yet? Has there been a point where you've simply trusted and obeyed, taken the Lord at his word, encountered the man of grace, and been brought into the field and the fold of God? Oh, if you haven't yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, then why not do that this evening, we pray. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts. Father, we pray and we thank you for the abundance that you provide. We thank you for the abundance of your salvation. Thank you for the abundance in your word. Lord, we thank you there's so much for us to glean. May we glean it. May we put the effort in and the endurance into gleaning in the word and the work and the witness for God. Thank you, Lord, for the man at the place of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we point souls to him tonight. May they come and trust the Savior before it's forever too late. But Lord, help us, as Ruth did to Boaz, to be obedient children unto the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Father, take of our thanks for your word. May the fruits of our faith be seen even in the week that's to come. In Jesus' name. Amen.